You're listening to the Young Arthroplasty Group Augment podcast channel, part of AAKUS Amplified from the American Association of Hip and Knee Surgeons, advancing hip and knee patient care through education, advocacy, research, and outreach.
Hi, I'm Mark Mildren. I work at the Slocum Center for Orthopedics. Here today on the Augment, we've got Yael Fillingham, who's going to talk a little bit about the AAKUS team course that's offered for one day on Thursdays each year at AAKUS. Yael, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So do you mind giving us a little bit of an overview as to what the team course is?
Yeah, so it's a course that's really kind of directed at the team that's around us. So whether it's a nurse practitioner, a PA, even the nursing staff that you might have in your clinic, anybody who's interacting with your patients who you think would be good for them to understand what we do even better and how to maybe help participate in the management of those patients, this is a great course for them.
And how did you personally get involved in the course?
I just was fortunate enough to kind of have the opportunity to present at one point in time at the course and get to kind of stay involved in education, and was given this amazing opportunity because, to be honest, I mean, these are the people that are around me that I rely on. And so being able to kind of educate them and help out with that is a wonderful opportunity.
Well, I was going to say, we as surgeons think of ourselves as maybe having, well, we don't think of ourselves, we do have God complexes and thinking that we are the all-important person in the room. And can you kind of go through just how important having a good team is, how important that having a good education behind these people is, and kind of the role that that has on your practice?
Yeah, so I mean, that's what I really enjoy about this course and why I think this really brings a ton of value to our team is that these are the people who, when I was a resident, that kept me out of trouble. They were the ones that are even going back as far as a medical student. I can remember rotating as a medical student and it would be maybe the PA or their nurse might be like, oh, well, you know what? The attending's gonna ask about this. Like, you wanna make sure you read up on this. And they were like, they really kept you out of trouble there. And then continued on in residency, they would say, oh no, this is the way that it's preferred to be done by the attending you're working with. And they could kind of guide you. And then even today, now in practice, those are the people that are helping guide my practice and helping out with my patients. So it's kind of a continued thing that they've always supported me throughout my entire career. And I think it's worthwhile for us to make sure that we're supporting them in their education as well.
Totally. And I can see, especially like during cases, sometimes I'll have something where I'm like, you know, I think this looks right. And I'll turn to my PA or I'll turn to the person with me and be like, what do you think? And to have that person be educated and to have them have a good knowledge is just vital. Now, is the ortho team course, is that something new this year?
No, it has been going on for several years now, and they've been able to kind of actually expand it. So I wasn't around for the very first one, but you talk to the surgeons who were on that original panel that ran the course, and they would say, oh, yeah, it was this room, it was small, like room, almost like round table only of nurse practitioners and PAs, to the point where it's actually grown to being an incredibly large room with pretty much standing room only at the course.
And then people that do attend this course, what skills do they take away? Is it mostly intellectual? Is there some skills labs? What could you expect to take away from the course?
I kind of batch things into two topics. There's one of just understanding more of the principles of joint replacement. So kind of them understanding as we're quickly kind of trialing and maybe like switching out liners or heads and stuff like that, that they kind of understand what's maybe going through our head as we're working through this process so that they have better understanding of that. So there's that component of things. Then there's the other component of things of like, what can they implement actually in their own practice, like optimization of patients or wound closure techniques and things like that, that they can then actually use in their practice as well.
Do you see this course changing over time as more of us use mid-levels in clinic and more of us use mid-levels or physician extenders to really take, you know, they're the front line of taking care of patients? Do you see the course expanding into kind of the more an academic, like how to diagnose, how to treat, you know, how do we rule out a periprosthetic infection, kind of the more complex stuff?
Yeah, so you bring up a really interesting point because like last year, one of the feedback comments that we got from the course was that they looked at the resident course topics and they said, gosh, I want to hear more about that level of detail. And because, and that makes sense now when you think about it, right? Like, you're right. They're more on the front lines. they're engaging more and more in the care of our patients. And so it would make sense that they would want to have the same knowledge base or get exposed to the same topics as the residents do that are highly engaged in the care of patients. So this year we kind of tried to include some of those additional topics. We have yet to kind of branch out into a laboratory type setting. I don't know if that's something that would, like a cadaver lab would be in the future, but it's certainly something to kind of consider as we get additional feedback from the course.
Sure. And if you've been to this course in the past, is it something that you think is worth attending in the future? Is it sort of a, you know, one time you've learned it all or you've seen it? Does the course change over time? You alluded to this a little bit previously, but is it worth coming again if you've been before?
Yeah, I do not think it's just I've done it once and I don't need to do it again kind of course, because it's a living course in that every year we take the feedback, we try to add new topics. Some of the more popular topics that people thought were beneficial will stay. There might be similar themes that are present each year. Like for instance, last year we had something on like anesthesia with multimodal analgesia. And then this year we kind of still kept stuff on pain control, but included things on like, okay, you know, more and more your patients are not opioid naive anymore. So like, how are you managing that? And then how do you kind of collaborate well with anesthesia? So there's still similar topics of pain management, but kind of trying to take a slightly different avenue on it. And that's another thing that's what I really like about the course is that we're able to also pull in outside specialties. So like we were able to bring in Sandra Kopp from Mayo as an anesthesiologist who's actually been wonderful to pair with us at AUKUS, because she was actually a work group representative for our pain guidelines that came out of AUKUS as a representative from the Anesthesia Society. So I think that there are things that will change every year. There are certain things that may stay the same, but they're usually kind of what we consider maybe core topics.
Sure.
And even then, to try and even kind of spice things up or kind of make things slightly different, is you have a different presenter present on the topic. So the attendees are always going to maybe get a different take or a different vantage point on the same topic.
Definitely. Well, Yale, thanks for joining us today. And I'm going to channel a little bit of Anna Cohen Rosenblum and I say, thank you for joining us on the Augment. And if you like this, please give us a 5mm Augment review. Yale, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Welcome back to the Young Arthroplasty Group podcast, The Augment. My name is Jonathan Lex. I'm an aspiring arthroplasty surgeon, currently doing my residency training at the University of Toronto in Canada. Co-hosting with me today is Amit. Amit?
Hello. Yeah, my name is Amit Manjanath. I'm from NYU. I'm one of the PGY3s there. Happy to be here.
We're joined here today by three great faculty members, and we're going to talk about the AUKUS Resident Arthroplasty course. Firstly, we have Drs. Sarah Wallace, we have Nathaniel Heckman, and Leonard Bueller joining us today. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Sarah Wallace. I'm currently at the University of Chicago. I have an academic position with residents and fellows there. Did my training at Rush for fellowship and University of Washington for residency.
My name is Nate Heckman. I'm, as I said, at USC. I have a clinical interest in periprosthetic joint infection, and my clinical practice is really focused around that problem. I get to teach a fellow in the residence, and I did my training for fellowship at Rush and my residency at USC.
Nice, and I'm Lenny Buller. I'm at Indiana University, also heavily involved with education there with residents, and we have fellows, and you'll see that that's the consistency of the podcast. We love educating. It's one of our missions at AUKUS, and so we're really proud to be a part of that as young faculty and trying to continue that growth.
Awesome. Well, nice to meet you all. Today we'll be talking about the AUKUS Resident Arthroplasty course, which has been going on over the last couple days here at the AUKUS annual conference. And then I thought, you know, we'll go through that and then maybe touch about the current state of arthroplasty education a little bit and how you guys are training your residents and fellows. So for anyone who's not aware, briefly, the Resident Arthroplasty course, it's a fully funded course for PGY 3 and 4 residents sponsored by AUKUS. It occurs during the first couple days of the AUKUS annual meeting. It consists of both a hands-on lab component as well as a didactic component. As mentioned, it's mostly fully funded, flights, hotel, and the course, which has been great and caters to 150 residents from both the United States and Canada, with a very large and impressive list of faculty members that have been curated for the course. Anything else you guys want to mention about it in summary?
No, it's such a privilege we have that AUKUS supports us in this mission. I remember doing it as a resident, and it was one of the most influential days I had of my residency. You're around thought leaders in arthroplasty that you don't even realize how famous they are, and you're just shoulder to shoulder. And now that we're actually helping run the course, you realize that these folks are so busy in their clinical practices, but they value education so much. So you have like 10 past presidents literally next to each other teaching the residents, and the wealth of knowledge is just so amazing, and they love the collegiality. So the fact that AUKUS supports this financially as well, it really is impressive.
Yeah, you know, I agree. When I was a trainee, this course was one of the most exciting parts of AUKUS, you know, being able to do cadaveric dissections with people that you've read about and you've read their papers, and you get to actually be with them side by side, you know, practicing arthroplasty on cadavers is just exciting. Now, being on this side of the fence, it's rewarding to come full circle. Both days are just filled with so much positive energy that the faculty is all extremely excited to be there. They're all passionate about education, otherwise they, you know, wouldn't be there. And so, yeah, just very energetic. It's a great way to kick off the meeting. This meeting, I think of now as a marathon, but, you know, it starts with the sprint, and the sprint is 2 days of this resident course. So it's really exciting on this end to be a part of it. For the trainees, this course was one of the things that got me really, really excited about arthroplasty early on.
Likewise, I think the AUKUS resident course and courses like it put on by AUKUS and AAOS were instrumental for me in making the decision about where I wanted to train and what I wanted to train like and who I wanted to train with, because as has been said here today, you're side by side with some of the greats from the field, and it feels like an enormous opportunity to get to know them, to get to know their teaching style, and to understand what's really important in arthroplasty today.
Yeah, amazing. For me, the highlight was, as mentioned, the cadaveric experience with Dr. Michael Taunton, and, you know, he was taking us through the anterior hip and the knees, and it was nice. It was really great hands-on experience. You know, small groups, right? You're just with three other residents and great faculty, and so that was probably the highlight for me. And then even the small group, the case-based discussions at the tables was, I think, very valuable to you know, go through the cases, all the things they'd consider, hearing the different perspectives, and I think that was the highlight for me for sure.
Yeah, the collegiality in the lab is so amazing. You see these super famous surgeons operating the way they like to operate, and they're poking their head next, oh, what do you do? Oh, what are you doing? And like, and as a young attending, it's cool for me to see too, because you get to have an instant glimpse into like 20 different ORs, like, oh, this is the way they do it, this is the way they do it, because you can poke your head around. Like, I see Dave Llewellyn do a direct lateral approach hip, like basically the best in the world at what he's doing with that. It's so awesome. It's definitely a privilege.
Yeah, no, I agree with Lenny. I think one of the, you know, it's gratifying to be on the teaching side of things, but we also get something out of it too. You know, we're excited to go because we get to see our friends and colleagues, we get to see their techniques, we get to learn from them. And so that's another reason why I think there's so much energy, because, you know, everyone there, for the most part, they're all thoughtful surgeons. You know, we get to train residents in the cadavers, but to Lenny's point, you actually get to see what your friends and buddies and colleagues are doing, and, you know, how they're thinking about problems, how they're tackling, you know, challenging surgical situations. So, you know, we get something out of it too. So that's why we're always excited to be a part of this course.
It's humbling, and it's actually encouraging, because you realize when you come to something like this, like, yeah, we're all kind of in the trenches too. Like, you might think that everybody's got this cush job, but we're all handling pretty big disasters. And like, with poise, I think that we all have the same focus on getting the best outcome for our patients. And I think that that's what you really see come through with all the people that come to this. Like, we all just want what's best for our patients and for our learners, so.
Despite doing the course as residents, you know, a few years ago, you're still coming back and learning new things.
Exactly.
That's great. So overall, how were you, you know, were you satisfied with how the course was run this year? Is there anything you'd change in the course structure, do you think, for next year or future years?
Loaded question, but yes.
Couldn't have gone better.
The course chairs.
We're very satisfied.
Not to pat our backs, we did a pretty dang good job. Yeah. We need to grow this course. There's so many trainees trying to get into this course. You know, I would encourage any trainee who's listening, if they're serious about joining this course, to jump on the opportunity as soon as it's available. Mm-hmm. And then I think on our side of the fence, and I don't know if I'm getting in trouble for saying this, we need to advocate to expand the course to accept a larger number of students, because every year, more and more, we're getting more and more residents who are trying to join this course, and it fills up immediately. So if there's anything we can do to grow the volume, that is my only critique of the course. It's not big enough.
I think to give some credit to the founders of the course and those that passed the course down to me and Nate and Lenny, you know, I think they've done a really great job in recent years of increasing the diversity of the faculty involved in the course, both in terms of the years that faculty have been in practice, as well as just what the overall faculty looks like and what their practice might look like. And I see that trickling down to the participants in the course as well. The group of participants was a lot more diverse than when I attended as a resident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the things that I want to emphasize for the group and for anybody that would want to listen is I think that this is about the principles of arthroplasty. And so we're probably one obstacle, which might be a question down the road, that I think we're going to face is the influence of industry on the course. And we have wonderful industry partners, and we could not do that without them, and we're very grateful. But again, this is the principles of arthroplasty. So as we expand towards enhancing technologies and robotics and all this other stuff, I don't think that that's what this course should be about. This should be about the principles of arthroplasty. And so hopefully we can continue that trend. That might be met with some resistance, I can anticipate, but we just have to make sure we understand what everybody's individual biases are to try and understand how those are negotiated.
Right. Yeah, it's a fine balance, I guess, right? That, you know, you need the industry, you know, support to continue the course. And if they want to introduce trainees to the new technologies and implants and everything that they're coming out with, but you're trying to maintain that purity of the course and the manual instrumentation and all that.
Yeah, right? It's amazing. I mean, we get fellow applicants every year now for the last 3 years that say, I want to come to IU because I've never done a non-robotic knee, or I've never done a posterior hip. And you're like, wow.
Wild.
It's changed so much. Just the scope of what residency education is like nowadays. So this, again, this course is about principles. Learning from the founders of these techniques and topics. So,
yeah. In your perspective or opinion, what do you think are those key skills that residents should be learning, not necessarily just in this course, but throughout the residency training before going out into fellowship or practice?
I'll give a long answer, I guess, because that's a hard question to answer. But, you know, I think just to go off what Lenny said, I think right now in the setting of near universal utilization of robotic and computer navigated technologies, I think sometimes, you know, trainees don't understand, at least at the technical level, how to do arthroplasty using traditional instrumentation. And so I think we can get the fundamentals of arthroplasty in a textbook. You know, you can learn about neutral mechanical alignment before you start dabbling with kinematic alignment, but to actually, you know, apply the basics in the OR and, you know, learning how to use with your hands, you know, a traditional cutting guide that on the femur is intramedullary and on the tibia is extramedullary, that skill set can never be learned from a textbook. And so I think it's important to at the very least get that, if not in your training in the OR, then at least in a cadaveric course, so that you understand the surgical fundamentals, not just the conceptual ones. And, you know, that's really what we're trying to drive home in a course like this. You know, we're not having a robot come up to a knee and cut it. We're really teaching you how to expose a knee and then, you know, make the cuts with instrumentation that doesn't rely on technology, because you really have to learn how to do those types of things with your hands before you should go headfirst into a technology platform that's going to tell you where to cut. You need to be able to fly without the autopilot on first. And so that's one opportunity for this course that I think is becoming more and more of a rarity in the training of, you know, many trainees today. You know, what Lenny said about, you know, these fellow applicants never or rarely having done a traditional total knee is true. You know, we every year we have our fellows, at least one fellow applicant a year, asking us if we do knees the old-fashioned way. And we do. You know, we're a big robot institution. We do navigation as well. But we also teach our trainees to, you know, do a total knee with traditional instrumentation. And I think that's another opportunity that you get in this course. You get to apply those types of skills to cadaver.
I think we're at a pivotal point in 2023 that all of us would agree that there are so many pressures on the attending at this point to be productive with diminishing reimbursements, decreased OR time, staff turnover that doesn't necessarily know your routines, that education can take a back seat to that. And so one of the things I think that residents can take from our experience here is to try and focus on who is a good doctor. So it's more than just the surgical skills. That's something that I think can get lost because you're so overwhelmed with the volumes that you're having to go through. You don't realize that it's about taking care of patients as a person, not necessarily just doing the surgery as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. But there is like a person on that other side.
So what were your thoughts on the surgical skills that you saw in the residents? You know, everyone has sort of a different level of exposure to manual and robotic knees. Same with hips. What were your thoughts?
Well, obviously, you were the best resident of the day. Everybody uniformly discussed that. So that aside, it is amazing how variable that can be. I think everybody here was in the resident course for both morning and afternoon sessions. But like we were talking about before, there's just so much variability nowadays. Attendings have to get cases done quicker. And so trying to turn that into an educational experience can be challenging. One thing I'd encourage the residents to do, which is what we do in ROR, is pick a portion of the case for each case of that day that you really want to focus on. For example, today I want to make sure that I know how to place the retractor on the medial side of the femur when I'm cutting the posterior medial femur. And if you have a specific goal in mind, that attending can work with you on establishing that, as opposed to, I want to do a total knee today. That's not an achievable goal if you're trying to get through 6 or 7 cases in a busy day with revisions at the end. So those are some tips I would think.
You know, just to underscore what Lenny said, surgical skills, particularly at the training level, are variable. We get it. And I think a lot of residents have enough insight to know their own, you know, psychomotor deficiencies. But the beauty of going to a course, particularly a cadaveric course, is you're not in the operating theater. You're not operating on, you know, a living person. That's the time to figure out the things that you need to learn best. And you're doing it on a cadaveric specimen. The stress is gone. I mean, you are there with a faculty and other residents, but it's really a time to really cut your teeth and really develop skills that, you know, you were too afraid to talk about with your attending in the OR. It's a very phenomenal opportunity. Even when I teach these courses and deal with a cadaveric specimen, it gives me the opportunity to hone in on skills in a way that is, you know, does not put a patient at risk. So, you know, it really gives you an opportunity, as Lenny said, to learn some of the nuance. I think the more detailed of a list that you have in your mind going into this course in terms of the skills you want to develop, the more you can get out of it. And so, yeah, surgical training and surgical skills are variable, and you should try to individualize what you're trying to get out of these courses based on, you know, where you are in your training and what skills you feel deficient in.
I was really impressed by the skill of the residents coming into the lab. There's, of course, some degree of variability, but I really felt that the residents were asking the right questions, the important questions, and focusing in on the right steps of the case. And the cadaver lab is an opportunity to spend 20 minutes talking about anterior versus posterior referencing, for example, when we might be able to spend 15 seconds in an actual case on something like that. And I felt like the residents were doing a great job of pumping the brakes at those steps of the cases to take a step back and truly understand why they were doing what they were doing rather than just knowing the steps.
And just speaking to the variability that you guys were talking about, what are your thoughts on giving readings or just topics to the residents before the course just to freshen up and sort of standardize the playing field before coming to this course?
I'm not a fan of homework. Yeah, you know, and just to underscore what Sarah said, residents who go to this course show prepared. You know, it's not like we ever go there and there's a lack of energy or a lack of knowledge or a lack of enthusiasm. So, you know, I think whatever the residents have been doing to prepare for these courses, you know, keep doing what you're doing. You know, as we mentioned earlier, this course is extremely competitive. So most of the attendees at that course have waited in line to, you know, try to sign up as soon as the course opens. So I'm not a fan of homework. I don't think it's necessary.
One thing that we did consider last year with the course was potentially assigning cases to small groups in advance. and having small groups take the lead presenting cases that were brought by that small group. I think it was a little bit hard to try to coordinate that in advance of the course and ensure that faculty were engaged in that discussion, but it's certainly something that we could consider for the future. And that's the beauty of the course, is that every year we try to change the course based on resident feedback and focus on one topic over another, or spend more time on case-based discussions, for example, and less time on the didactic portion. So please submit your feedback if you were there.
And what's the plan, if there is one, for expanding the course to perhaps other trainee levels, right? Maybe more the fundamentals for PGY 1s, 2s, and then even fellows dealing with revision cases. Is there a plan for that, or, you know, is this kind of where you're focusing on?
So I think that there's a lot of opportunity around the country throughout the year for varying levels of training and very specific things like that. The thing I like about this course is that we're targeting PGY3 and PGY4 residents who are thinking about applying to an arthroplasty fellowship. And for some, this two-day experience is what's going to put them over the edge towards choosing a career in arthroplasty. That one conversation they have with Dr. Heckman that just goes so well, and they decide, oh, this is what I want to do, that's a huge win for us. And so I think that that, in addition to the networking that happens as a result, it's the first introduction to, these are the people that we're going to see for the next 20 plus years of our careers, and those relationships and friendships that are built start in that course. So there's so many other opportunities. I don't necessarily see a need to expand it beyond where we're at.
I think expanding numbers would need to be balanced by increasing the faculty numbers as well. And as a course gets bigger, just as AUKUS gets bigger from year to year, there's something lost in that. So it's nice to have, to some extent, a smaller, more focused group. But I would put a plug in for the other AUKUS and AAOS resident courses that are taking place throughout the year, particularly in the Rosemont area. I've been a part of those courses in the past, and they are more focused on one first and second year residents, for example, or more advanced courses, and they're spectacular also.
Mentioning faculty, did you, obviously there's a very large list, very impressive list of faculty. Did you have pushback as the course chairs in getting that many faculty, or were you finding that they were very supportive and willing to volunteer their time and come?
I think on the faculty side of things, there's no shortage of faculty enthusiasm about education. The only challenge we run into is, you know, everyone's busy. So there's a lot of scheduling conflict, and, you know, that's really the biggest hurdle for us planning this course, is just making sure that we have, you know, enough faculty that can do this course that accommodates our schedule. But in terms of the faculty enthusiasm and, you know, the desire to be in that course, there's no shortage of it. You know, most of the academic students here love teaching, that's part of their passion. But really the logistical issue is scheduling, you know, everyone's busy.
Yeah, it's actually hard to pick because we have so many people that want to be a part of the course. It's a lot of responsibility to make sure we do maintain a diverse and balanced faculty. I get approached after the resident course on Friday, yesterday. A lot of people came up, hey, if you're going to be a part of it next year, like, can you take my number? Like, I'd really like to be involved. And so I think that the faculty just really, they love it so much. So they're super eager.
I guess more broad sense, just to wrap up and talk about the future, is, you know, there mentioned a bit about robotics, but is there any thought into adding use of things like virtual reality, augmented reality into the course? And what are your thoughts on that in general, and training compared to hands-on training with cadavers and sawbones? Where do you think the role is for that?
One thing I'd like, and I'm going to work with Dr. Bedard hopefully for next year on, is logistically was challenging this year, but if anything, I want to go even further away from that. I'd like it to be, we're not operating virtually in the OR on our patients, and on Tuesday when I go back to the OR, that's not generalizable necessarily. So if anything, I want to have the cement portion of the lab be in our cadavers. I think that would be fantastic. So that's a future direction I think that's feasible and would actually really show the principles of how to prepare a femoral canal appropriately, how to pressurize the canal, putting in restrictors as opposed to the sawbone. So if anything, I want to move further away from technology.
Appreciate
for this course. I want to move further away from technology for this course specifically, so that, again, the principles can be taught.
Yeah. You want to get out the abacus. And
appropriate caveat supplied.
Pencil and paper. All right, well, appreciate, you know, your time, and thank you for coordinating this course. It was, you know, highly educational, very, very valuable for me as a PGY3. And if I could do it every year, I would. But it was very good this year.
Absolutely, I agree. You know, we as residents get, like you guys were exposed to a lot of different aspects of education, whether it's through courses like this, through lecture series. But I think there's something to being hands-on, being more involved and interactive with case-based courses, sort of having feedback from faculty where we can be told, hey, that's not how you take care of a Vancouver B2. Hey, here's how you should put your retractor because now you're getting a little close to that nerve over there. You know, it's very useful information and we really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. Really excited to be here.
Thank you for joining us for the Young Arthroplasty Group Augment podcast channel. Visit AAKHIS.org to learn more about how members of American Association of Hip and Knee Surgeons educate, advocate, investigate, and perform humanitarian outreach in the field of hip and knee replacement surgery.